The views and opinions discussed on this show are of the guests and host. They do not reflect the views or opinions of associated sponsors or affiliates. Sudden alteration in belief systems, moodiness, and confusion are natural side effects of listening to this podcast. Enjoy at your own risk.
Hey there, oddballs. Welcome back to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Before we dig in with all things voodoo and hoodoo with our very special guest, I need to talk to you guys about our amazing sponsor. This sponsor has stuck by my side through COVID-19. And as Newfoundland is now in its second lockdown, am I ever glad I have Accusonus on my side. 100% in the corner of the Odd the Newfoundland, this amazing software makes me sound way better than I actually am at this. I'm actually a horrible podcaster, a god-awful editor. But you know what? With their one button, one knob turning approach, you, even if you're completely illiterate to podcasting, can sound, well, like you're in a radio studio. That's right. And I know there's a lot of people out there right now who can't be in their radio studio due to COVID-19. What a great time to check out our sponsor, Accusonus. Can I give you a great example of something Accusonus actually does? Okay. So here's a piece of software I use all the time. It's called, get this, the Deverberator. Okay. So let's say you got a guest and they're in a very echoey room. Okay. This thing with a turn of a knob can get rid of that echo and make them sound more clear. Yeah. Yeah, they can fix the audio you couldn't fix before yourself. Anybody who's in the podcasting or even live streaming video games or anything like that should totally check out Accusonus. Guys, the link will be down in the bottom of the show notes. Thank you so much, Accusonus. We love you. Tonight's guest, well, let me tell you, it's going to be magical. Was born into a family with a long history of spiritual work. Most of her family practice Santeria, Palo, and Brujera, or a combination of all three. And if you don't know what those three things are, I'm sure she'll have a chance to explain them. She later learned hoodoo from an esteemed teacher, a natural medium and hoodoo practitioner. If that wasn't enough, she's also a U.S. Air Force veteran and something that's near and dear to all of our hearts right now in the fight against COVID-19, a registered nurse. She's also the author of Hoodoo Cleansing and Protection Magic, Banish Negative Energy, and Ward It Off. Guys, tonight's guest is Miss Ida. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
I love having interesting people on my podcast. And when I seen voodoo and then I seen hoodoo, I said, what the heck is hoodoo? I got to have this girl on, man. She got to come on here because there's a lot of people out here who are going to be ignorant to what this actually is. So I'm so glad you took the time tonight. So thank you.
And would you like to know what hoodoo is?
I think it's a great starting point. You know, I like to think that you probably, you know, weren't exactly born into it. But then again, maybe you were. I don't know. You know what?
Okay.
Go ahead, Miss Ida. Tell us. What is hoodoo cleansing?
Okay, let me just differentiate, because everybody asked me that question, and I'm sure you're going to ask me that, so I'm going to answer the question before you ask me. So what's the difference between voodoo and hoodoo? Were you going to ask me that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so voodoo, V, with as in victory, voodoo is a magical religious practice, and it is often referred to as an African traditional religion, whereas hoodoo, with an H as in Harry, is a folkloric magical practice system, and it is referred to as an African derivative tradition. Now, both derive their roots from Africa, but they differ in that one is religious and the other is folkloric. And that's what hoodoo is.
I think it's really interesting. Like, amazing. One letter and all that difference. So,
isn't something, yeah.
Here comes the fun part. Now, as a, we'll just say, a fellow who lives up north who has never, ever dealt with this ever. Why do you think would really be the first thing that would strike me as, I hate to say a run-of-the-mill Christian, but this is what I am. So let's say I walk into you and we have a chat and you start telling me, what is the main difference between me and you religious-wise?
Not very much. Hoodoo has a heavy Judeo-Christian foundation. And you most likely or know people, but I'm sure that if you're a Christian, you have done many things that we consider to be a hoodoo practice. Hoodoo, as it evolved, what happened is the slaves came here to the United States, and they had to incorporate their beliefs into what was practiced by the slave owners. So the slave owners practiced Christianity, right? So that melded into the practice. Then as time evolved, there were Asian influences, Native American influences. The Sephardic Jews, they came to the South first, the South of the United States. And that's where the Judeo comes in, right? And because the slave masters were mostly Christian, that's where the Christian practices come in. So as hoodoo evolved and evolved, it incorporates other practices, they incorporate other practices into this belief system. So I'm sure that there's things like salt. You know, if you spill salt, you better throw some salt over your left shoulder, right? Hoodoo practitioners do that. Christians do that. There's a lot of similarities. And by the way, I have a ton of clients from Canada, a ton. And they're very familiar with hoodoo, and they're very into hoodoo. So I wouldn't say that being in Canada separates you from the practice of hoodoo. I wouldn't say that.
Maybe I should have been more clear on that. I mean, being in a Newfoundland on an island, kind of isolated. I think that's probably what I meant, but I get what you mean. Maybe there's some practicing hoodoo people. Wait a second. What do you call someone who practices hoodoo?
A hoodoo practitioner.
A hoodoo practitioner.
Root worker.
Ooh, interesting.
A conjure man or a conjure woman. A root doctor. I think that's about it. I just call myself a hoodoo practitioner. So a lot of people feel intimidated by the word conjure because of the movies. You know,
yeah.
They get all, you know, scary and all that. And it is. And it's the same practice. I just like hoodoo because it's less, I like that word because it's less intimidating.
I tell you what I like. I like one of the first lines in your book. This thing has magical tips and techniques for keeping negative people and harmful forces at bay so you can take control of your destiny and live your best life. Man, you shouldn't have sent me a free copy because I totally would have bought it, you know? I can't think of anybody out there who wouldn't like to get negative people out of their lives. Okay, so we got to start there. Let's jump right in. What kind of techniques could you use? Like, let's talk about some of those techniques. What would you do if someone came to you and said, hey, you know what? There's a person in my world right now. I'm not saying it's my ex-girlfriend. I'm just saying I want them out of my life. I want them gone. You know, how does that work?
Okay, so it would depend on what the person's doing. Most of the techniques in my book are very simple practices. Using things that are available in your home, in your kitchen, at your local supermarket. So wanting to get rid of somebody in a nice way, you would put them in a freezer spell. You would put their picture or their name in a container of water and stick it in the freezer. That's a freezer, and it freezes a person out of their lives. Now, you have to remember that spells don't work overnight, and a freezer spell can be as plain and simple as writing their name, their birth name, on a piece of paper and putting that paper in a container of water and sticking in the freezer. Or you could get fancy and put lemon juice in there, and hot peppers, red pepper flakes. So we have the Dollar Tree here. I know you do too, because I'm from Detroit, so we used to always go to Windsor, and we called Windsor the 68-cent store. That's what we called it, even though you guys called it the Dollar Tree. But, you know, the money was, we got more for our money in Canada, and then we come across the border with all the stuff that we bought at the Dollar Tree.
In Atlantic Canada, they actually changed it to the Dollar Store. They actually called it, they were allowed to call it the Dollar Store. So there you go.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. So, it can be, these spells can be simple or they can be more elaborate. And when I talk about, you know, being elaborate, go to the Dollar Tree and buy, red pepper flakes, right? That's a dollar. You can stick red pepper flakes into the water before you freeze it, or you could put that person's name and or their picture. You could cut a lemon, stick it in the lemon, wrap it up in aluminum foil with the shiny side facing inward, stick that in the freezer. That's a pretty easy way of getting rid of a person.
I see a lot of people out there who got jaded by their Valentine's this year. Yeah, that's right. This show drops on March 1st. It was only 2 weeks ago that we all got jaded on Valentine's Day. Guess what? Their freezers are going to be blocked with pictures of their ex. I guarantee it.
You know, it's not a cursing spell. It's just a spell to freeze someone out of your life.
I think the idea is that it would just, in other words, if you keep running into this person, they probably won't be running into you anymore. Does that make sense?
Right.
Awesome. Cool, man. Cool. Okay.
You're a hoodoo practitioner already. See how you are?
Oh, man. I'm just like, you know what? I'm in lockdown right now with my three children and my wife. And I'm telling you right now, if they hear this podcast, my picture is going in that freezer. I guarantee you.
You know, don't let them hear it. Don't let them hear it.
You know, as soon as I seen protection magic and cleansing, I just can't help but get the word Wicca coming right in my brain here. And I'm starting to wonder, is this, you know, a lot of natural herbs? And wait a second, this sounds an awful lot like, you know, stuff in Wiccan culture as well. Is there a big connection there as well?
Well, the bottom line is most magical practices work with what's available from the earth, what Mother Earth gives us. So you have to imagine, and this is what I do a lot of times when I'm thinking about a spell, and if I see something, this applies only to hoodoo. When I see something written on the internet that is very elaborate, right? I think back and I try to picture what did the slaves do, right? They didn't have anything available. They had to work with what the earth provided, and they had to do everything in secret. So, of course, the magical practices derived from what was available to them at the time. And Wicca, which is a very, very beautiful practice, and for those who practice Wicca, I have the utmost respect for Wiccans and their practices, but what do they talk about all the time? They talk about the goddess, the god, nature. So there's a connection.
Interesting stuff. And you know, I'm on the same mind that most religions are connected somehow.
Definitely.
And really it all goes back to, you know, the laws on which we should live our lives in a positive way. You know, don't kill each other. be nice to each other. I mean, that's pretty much the simplest form of all things. But, you know, unfortunately, there are people out there who are unpleasant, negative, and just downright predatory. But apparently, we can take action against them by reading your book. So I want to hear a little tiny bit about that. I think that's really interesting.
Wow, you're out to get people.
Look. I'm actually just more like, this is actually reverse psychology. I just want people to stop chasing me.
All right. So I have other books out. I have one that's called Cursing and Crossing, if you feel retaliatory. However, I emphatically stress over and over and over and over and over that these types of practices must be justified. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, not an eye for a tooth, right? So I have another book coming out at the end of this year, and it is all about righteous vindication. The name of the book that's coming out at the end of this year is called Hoodoo Justice Magic.
Okay.
But when people ask me about retaliatory magic, I always stress that one must be justified. So a simple way, and I always encourage a spell, and I'll tell you why. A mirror box spell with nothing in the mirror box at all except the person's picture with his or her eyes showing. So you would go to a craft store, and I always get those 2x2 mirrors, square mirrors, and you would have to get two packages because they're usually four for a dollar, and you need six squares to make a box. And you would take the reflection of the mirrors that would be the inside of the box, the interior. So you would put five together, put the person's picture into that mirror box, and then put the lid on. And so then I tape it all up with duct tape. Now, the reason that I talk about the spell, and there are variants of the spell that I don't want to discuss at this point. There are variants where you can do add things to the box to curse the person. But the simple spell with nothing in the box, just the picture. And the idea is whatever that person is will bounce back to them. So if I were to put the Pope's picture into a mirror box and seal it up, or if I would put Mother Teresa's picture in, if she were alive, into a mirror box, only goodness is going to bounce back to them, right? But if I put a conniving, no good for nothing person in there, say someone's trying to steal my lover, someone's trying to steal my husband, someone's trying to steal my job, someone's trying to get me fired, et cetera, et cetera. And I, because they're narcissistic or sociopath or whatever their agenda is, if they're a lousy person, if I were to put their picture in a mirror box and seal it up, whatever they are will bounce back to them. And I consider this to be a very safe spell because sometimes clients will lie. Sometimes they'll lie and say, so-and-so did blah, 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 and that other person didn't do a thing. So it's basically, for me, a test. If I put this person's picture in a mirror box, is bad going to happen to them, or is nothing going to happen to them, or is good going to happen to them? Whatever you are will bounce back to you.
Hmm. Well, makes me want to go buy a bunch of mirrors. Like, you know what though? No. I'm gonna do it in a positive way. I want to do it in a positive way. I want my friend, who is struggling right now, very much in his life, to have positive things happen for him, and because I'm very worried about where his life is headed. I would love to put his picture in there and close it all up and have a positive thing. So it doesn't necessarily have to be negative.
If you wanted that to happen to your friend, if you wanted good things to happen to your friend, right, then you would turn the mirror box, you would turn it around. So now you make a box with the reflective side on the outside. So now you would have to line the inner part of the mirror box with the duct tape, because you don't want to put duct tape on the outside, right? Why are we doing this? Because if we're going to steal this person in the mirror box, and the reflective side will then protect your friend from anything evil. So it's like whatever hits the reflection will bounce back to them. I would put herbs in there along with his picture or his personal concerns, his hair, his fingernails, whatever. Write his name across on the backside of his picture and his birthday. If you wanted to protect your friend, you could put an herb in there known as rue, which is a great protection herb. If you wanted to bless your friend, you could anoint the picture with holy oil or a little bit of holy water. You could put holy herbs in there. And I have a list of all the good herbs in my book, Hoodoo Cleansing and Protection Magic. So you could do that and then seal the box again with the reflective side on the outside, right? And, you know, cover the cracks with a little slivers of tape just to seal the box up. It's a little bit harder to make a protection box because the reflection side's on the outside. And that will protect your friend, and you can give that to your friend too. There's a lot of things you can do with mirrors, an absolute.
How cool is that? That's really, really interesting.
Whoever invented the mirror, God bless them.
You know, I wonder. That's one for Google. Unfortunately, my Google Home's not here, so I can't ask them. Okay. I can't help but another one just jumped out at me from your page here, and I just had to read this one off because I was a paranormal investigator for like 5 years, and did a lot of ghost hunting, wrote a book, just done a lot of radio stuff, like this kind of like how I got into podcasting too, because I just love the paranormal and all the weirdness that goes along with it. But one of the things you said in your book is you can distinguish between reputable ghost hunters from frauds and amateurs. And like, oh my God, where was this book before? Like, I wish I had this 7 years ago. Cause like, I've been around a lot of people and some people are really good and some people are not. And other people like don't understand that they're like a freaking ghost magnet. And there's other people out there who like want to be one so bad, but they really aren't. Like, I think it's really, really interesting that. So you got to lay that one on me. How do we distinguish a reputable ghost hunter?
That was, yes, right. That was an interview that I did with a reputable ghost hunter. So there's a lot of, I am not a paranormal investigator. I am not. I've never professed to be one. To be honest with you, it scares the crap out of me because that to me, people don't realize that's a dangerous job because you don't know what you're walking. You come in with your equipment, you know, and you don't know what might attack you. You have no clue. And I give you a lot of credit because I think that paranormal investigators are at as much risk as is an exorcist. So I am going to have
I'll just interject there really quick. Just to let you know, 6 years, did it constantly, almost like at least 2 or 3 times a month, like 6 years straight, wrote books, something like that. Never once did I come across anything negative. It was always friendly, always happy, always playful, always subtle. And that to me is what actual paranormal activity is. The stuff you see on TV, that's not at all what this stuff is for the most part. And don't get me wrong, I do believe there's like big bads out there and there's truly haunted and possessed people. I believe in all that kind of stuff. It's all possible. But I'm going to say like a large majority of stuff that's captured, there's nothing scary about it at all. I think it's literally around us 24/7. And anyway, I'll leave it there. Continue.
Okay. Well, again, I'm not a paranormal investigator, and that's why I interviewed a paranormal investigator.
Of course, so I thought that was really cool.
I just kind of don't think they're permitted to that. Yes. Yes.
So tell me a little tiny bit about how you would distinguish then. Like, so what would be the difference between someone like, say, like me, who's, you know, pretty well known for being a bit investigator, investigates alone because he's sick of contamination, like the stick in the mud ghost hunter, which is me, versus somebody who's, you know, well, not like that, who's the amateur, basically.
Well, the reason that I interviewed this paranormal investigator is because I was dealing with, in the book, when to seek professional help. And I have only dealt with one paranormal investigation team. And I found that all but one were a bunch of a-holes. I'm sorry, but they were in for their own, they wanted fame and they weren't teachers. They were all into themselves and how great they were. And I was extremely turned off. And I didn't, you know, and the chapter in the book is when you need help. So throughout the book, Hoodoo Cleansing and Protecting Magic, I tell you how to get rid of negative energy yourself. What causes one to be attacked by negative energies or even negative entities, and what you can do. So how to recognize it. I talk about negative people, predatory people. I talk about spiritualists, whether they're the ones that are in the metaphysical field that scam people. I tell you how to recognize a scammer. I tell you how a pseudo spiritual reader will trick you into thinking that they know all. I talk about cold readings, warm readings, hot readings. I talk about everything negative, right? But then at the end of the book, the very last chapter, there are times when people can't help themselves. They have to look for help. And I didn't want to say, just find a paranormal investigation team if you have a traditional haunting. I didn't want to do that. I wanted people to be able to recognize a legitimate from an illegitimate paranormal investigation. Because I can't speak to it. That was the purpose of me interviewing a professional and asking him what to look for in a legitimate team.
I think you did it great. I love what you did there, because not only did you take it upon yourself to, you know, get the real answers from someone who's reputable, but you set the tone for other people who are reading your book and probably are feeling like, okay, I need to know what's going on with my life. It's not explainable by natural means. I need to know, do I have a curse on me? Is there a negative entity in my house? You know, we're probably at that point, and I think that's great that you did that. You knew right away that people were going to be unsure of what their situation is. So what you did is you put it out there that there's bad ghost hunters and there's good ghost hunters. Go find a reputable one. And that, to me, is just 100% cool. I love that. You know,
well, thank you.
And I think it's important you hear that from me, because I investigate alone for a reason. I'm in it for two very, very important reasons. Number one, I want to show that all the atheist people out there got something to look forward to, whether they like to believe it or not, when they die. And and second, which is most importantly of all, I used to be one of those people. So it keeps me in that loop. It keeps me tied to the spiritual side of things. I love paranormal investigation. And to be quite honest with you, it's nice to see people react to what you caught and stuff like that. But what better way to relive the history of a place than to actually see it play out before your eyes? Anyway, I digress. I'm going to tell you something. I am in possession, or should I say, the object is possessed. I have an object that apparently is possessed by a butt-grabbing ghost. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It's true. I have a butt grabber.
Whoa.
But this only happened once shortly thereafter when I actually received it as a gift. I'm not going to tell the story behind it. I am going to say this, that, you know, it wasn't my butt. That's all that matters. I actually do believe that, you know, certain objects can have spirits tied to them. In fact, in my research, the majority of places that are haunted almost always, in Newfoundland anyway, almost always have some type of very important object on the grounds that are tied to the said spirit. So, to give you a great example. To give you a great example, one of the most haunted places in my world anyway is Cape Spear, Newfoundland. And back when I was investigating down there, there used to be a beautiful cross monument that overlooked the ocean. And it was a monument to all the people who've committed suicide and some, you know, army people down there as well. But this particular one was a military or naval, monument. And it 100% had a spirit attached to it. Like, there's no doubt in my world. I was down there that many times and got that many times on my recorder, that thing talking to me, asking me not to leave. Like, this thing was very real and very there. I do believe that objects can have things tied to them. But let's just say that you've got something in your house. Let's say you got a butt-grabbing ghost like I had on one of my things I had here. How do you remove the effects? I think it's awesome that you're pretty much getting into that cleansing part now of that practice. So let's hear a little tiny bit about that.
Right. Well, you're an expert, and I have written this book for basically the novice, right? I always tell people, just get rid of the object. Don't try to diagnose it. Don't try to understand it. My comparative analogy is, if I were having severe chest pain, severe, and I couldn't breathe, and I'm almost keeled over, and I got the phone right next to me, and rather than calling 911, the ambulance, right? I don't know what if you have 911 in Canada, but rather than calling an ambulance, I'm going to sit there and try to diagnose the problem and all this. No, just take action. Take affirmative action. You don't want to sit there and let me do this with it or let me do that with it. No, get it out of your house. For an expert like you, you know what to do. You know how to control it. You know how to contain it. But for a novice, we don't know if it's a negative entity or a positive entity or what the history is. So rather than taking a chance, just get rid of it. And that's my advice. Get it out of the house.
And, you know, I'm going down the rabbit hole now. Here it comes. We're going all paranormal, and it's just going to start happening. I can't help myself. We got to do this. It kind of is
all right, paranormal. Give it to me. Lay it on me.
What? Here it comes. Oh, man. I'd really like to know what the voodoo/hoodoo, idea is about Ouija boards. Everyone's got their own idea what those things are and how they work and yada, yada, yada. But just from your own point of view, how do you think a Ouija board like works? Because I think with your knowledge base and your view on the whole thing, it'd be very different from mine. So I'd like to hear what you think about those things.
I think that there is nothing wrong with the Ouija board. It is a board, right? It's a piece of wood or whatever they use, right? And then I forgot what that thing is called.
Planchette. Right?
The danger is the misuse of the Ouija board. Calling in unknown entities. It is not the Ouija board that's the problem. It's the user. So we never, never, never call in unknown entities. And that's the bottom line. Nothing wrong with the Ouija board. It's the person.
And you know, it's funny. I had kind of the similar opinion. You know, there's a lot of dogma attached to that Ouija board. And I know people don't like that word dogma when it's not used, you know, with accordance with religion, but it literally has become its own religion. People truly do believe these things can summon the devil, basically, and summon angels. Like, people do believe these things work. And I look at it as just another piece of paranormal investigating equipment. I think that a Ouija board in the hands of somebody who might be a little sensitive and have that ability to connect truly can use those things, because I've seen them work and I've seen them not work. And I'd like to, everyone out there to know, maybe stop watching so many movies about this stuff and actually learn how to use the tools. But, you know, if you have a friend who's into the dark arts and who's all evil and stuff, maybe it's not a good idea to go on the Ouija board with them.
Right. But once again, we're going back to the scary movie.
That's right.
Right. So I have had clients in the past who have called me and they wanted to perform a simple spell. Just a very, very simple spell. And I always stress that if you need spiritual assistance, to call on God, to call on your spirit guides, to call on your guardian angels, to call on the deity of your religion, right? So it's the God of your religion, the goddess of your religion, ancestors who loved you, not just any ancestor. To say I call on my ancestors is a no-no, right? My great-grandmother poisoned and killed my great-grandfather because he was cheating on her. So I wouldn't be calling on my great-grandfather, right?
Yeesh.
So, you know, ancestors who have loved you, who have known you. But where have these clients that have called me for help because they performed a simple love spell, something really easy, something that was non-intimidating, where did they mess up that now they have all these negative things happening to them? Some have brought in negative entities, right? Because what did they say? I call on anybody who will help me.
Uh-oh.
Well, negative entities have a way of coming in and tricking you. So the same philosophy applies. Once again, we're back to the Ouija board. The same philosophy applies with that. They're calling on entities, anything. And then they don't know how to control, right? So they're not calling in someone specific. They're not able to judge if this is an entity that's tricking them. If I were using, I don't use Ouija boards, but if I were to use a Ouija board, and let's say hypothetically, I was calling on my mother. Hypothetically, I would ask her a question that only she knows. If this thing comes in and pretends to be my mother and doesn't know the answer to my question, guess what? It's not my mother. So I would spray around with holy water, with Florida water, throw salt at it, open the door, get out of my house now. You were not invited here. And there you go.
I think it's really interesting in my religion too. Like, I mean, I know it's not really seldom talked about anybody who's not really studied up on the Bible a whole lot, but you know, you can't talk to God directly. That's not how it works. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to talk to God through Jesus. And to me, there's no different. He's the vehicle. He's the Son of Man. So in our religion, so there's a lot of coinciding things that kind of show up. And, you know, maybe the Ouija board is among those things. You can talk to, you know, someone who's passed on or an elder or a positive entity. But the moment you go looking for negative, you're probably going to find it. And, you know, with me, I always use meditation when I'm out doing a lot of my paranormal investigations. You know, one of my classic things to do, before I ask you about some of yours, one of my classic things to do is to envision myself sitting down for a cup of coffee with this spirit before I even turn on my spirit box or hit play on a recorder. Every single time I do that, and it's like my ritual. And I sit there, and I'm very calm, and I'm laughing and joking with this thing, and I don't get the chance to talk to them. I never hear them in real time. Very rarely does that happen. But you can feel the presence of someone there, and it's different. It's not like this creepiness that everyone thinks it's going to be. And
Right.
But I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff like that in your world as well. So here it comes. Right. We're getting very close to the end.
Wait. Let me just make some... I want to make something clear to everybody.
Yep.
You're an expert. You know what to do. Most people are not experts. They're novices. Get what I'm saying? So
yep.
You're handling things differently. You're handling things... You know, and I've even said this in the book. If you... need cardiac surgery. I believe I said that.
Yep.
Okay. You're not going to get a manual and read how to do the surgery or have your friend read the manual. You're going to go to the cardiac surgeon. So I want to make that perfectly clear that people like you, you know exactly what to do. You know exactly how to handle these things. You know exactly what to do if you do have a negative entity around, but most people don't. Okay, so, all right, lay it on me. What were you going to lay on me?
I would love to be able to help my three children right now who are suffering from a horrible thing that's afflicted them since they've been locked down. This disease called boredom. I'm bored. I have nothing to do. And for once, I have to agree with them. Yes. You have very little to do. It's true. It's the middle of the winter. It's freezing. If you're not going to go sliding, there's not really much else to do. You know what? I don't want to say I want to cast a spell on my kids, but I'm just saying. If a person out there whose name rhymes with Wis Meda maybe wants to cast a little one with me right now so that they can find peace in the silence, I think that'd be awesome. Is there anything you can suggest?
Yes. Get some holy water, put a quarter of a teaspoon of holy water, sugar in a glass of holy water and shake it up and let it dissipate and then put it in a spray bottle and spray around the house and it will bring peace and happiness.
Ooh, I like that. See? Now, that's not scary voodoo, scary weirdness, is it? No. That's very peaceful. Very nice.
Yes, but it's hoodoo. It is hoodoo. So once again, I'm reaching out to the roots of Christianity. We're using holy water. Get what I'm saying? So we're right back to the beginning of the interview when you asked me what the differences were between hoodoo and Christianity. Not much.
And to be honest with you, if we're right back to where we began, that means that's our cue for the universe to stop. Thank you so very, very much for being a guest on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Now, I want people to check out your amazing book. And it's called Hoodoo Cleansing and Protection Magic, Banish Negative Energy and Ward Off Unpleasant People. You can get a Kindle edition, audiobook, or paperback on Amazon.ca or .com. The reason why I'm saying CAN.com or CAN.com, sorry, is because it's on both. How cool is that? Just to let you guys know, there's also some paperback copies available there on Amazon. There's only 6 left, 6 used and 11 new here in Canada. So, guys, she's running out. You might want to get on that. I'll make sure the link is down in the show notes for everyone here. As well, I just want to shout out your own website. Where can people find you online?
MissAida.com, MissAida.com, and you go to my Facebook page, Miss Aida Psychic, and every other week I will do a live event every other Sunday. I will do a live event, question and answer for half an hour. I will answer any questions you have on hoodoo or santeria. I often, frequently, maybe once or twice a week, I'll post a spell tip or a spell. And join me there. Like my Facebook page, Miss Aida Psychic. And I'm always there if you have a question.
And I'll be sure to link all that too with the show notes. Guys, thank you so very much for listening. And thank you so much for being a wonderful, wonderful guest.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor. Thank you.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever-popular para-joke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.